Blog Talk Radio.
When you want to know the news, they got the radio blues. From the question of the day to the rants and the raves, got your favorite thing going.
It's a Hooper thing.
Nobody does it like you do.
It's a Hooper thing.
Listen in and we can prove it. It's all.
Welcome, everybody, to HTR, Hooper Thing Radio, Hooper Thing Radio, where we are a modern-day faith-based show. We love the Lord, and we want to keep it jiggy with it at the same time and still abide by God's rules. And so on today's show, we'll be talking about a deep and sensitive subject in America, and we'll be talking about racism in America. So this is going to be a really great and deep show, and we hope we serve this subject justice. So on today's show, it's me, of course, D-Ran, and I'm from Michigan, but I stay here in California. And we have back again from popular demand, one of the original co-hosts from season one, Lisa, a.k.a. the Supermom. What up, though, Lisa?
Yay!
What up,
though?
What up, though? His little kids clap for you. The little kids love you.
Right, they're supposed to be asleep.
And of course, our other co-host for the season, phenomenal, the great, the awesome, fantastic, super nominal. I don't know what else to geek his head up before he get on. Jamal, the hardworking prankster. What's up, Jamali Mall?
What's up? What's up? What's up? That is a great introduction. It's about time you learn, youngin. But keep it coming. I'm loving that.
That'd be the last time you get that introduction, for sure, for sure. No, if you like what you hear on today's show, you go to HooperThingRadio.com. You can like us on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to call us. Again, when we talk about the subject, you can call in at 347-324-5098, 347-324-5098. Hashtag call in, hashtag say what you got to say. All right. So, because we have such a jam-packed show, we're going to get right into it for the What's the Word. Everybody knows we have Minister Paula, who's an assistant pastor, coming in to give us the word of the week. So we all know this is her intro song, so grab several seats, get out your Bible app, and let's receive the word of the week.
What's the word? The word for the day is I'm still holding on. As I got ready to prepare for this week's session, I got to thinking about how many miracles Jesus performed in the Bible. And I went to the third chapter of Acts, and it talked about how there were two blind men sitting on the roadside crying, "Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David. What will you do that I must, what must I do unto you, Lord, that our eyes may be made open?" And I got to thinking about how many times we sat on the sidelines and just sit there and beg, asking for this and asking for that, instead of getting up and doing something for our own self. I'm talking about how we just expect God to do things for us, but we don't think we have to do anything. Then I start thinking about the beggars at the Gate Beautiful, where they sat there every day at the entrance of the temple. And one reason they sat at the entrance of the temple was because they knew church folks were going to be coming their way, and it would probably be easier for them to get some money. But the problem was when Peter and John came into the temple, they looked at the man, and they told him, "We don't have no money." They said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I will gladly give." And they told him, "In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And they realized then how powerful God was. And they began praising God and leaping for joy. My word today is that faith makes a difference in all of our lives. We may not be able to see it, but we sure can believe it and know that it will set us free. We have to quit sitting there with our infirmities. We can be healed of all of our infirmities, illness, homelessness, sin, shame, alcoholism, drug addiction. Let's quit throwing money people's way and tell them to look at us. Your faith can make the difference and deliver you from begging, and you'll go from begging to leaping for joy and praising God for all of his goodness. So are you sitting here today in need of a blessing and you have been begging God? Stop begging and start praising for what he's already done and what he has yet to do. Once again, this is Minister Paula. I'm still holding on. God bless you.
Wow.
God bless.
Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. Wow, that was a strong word, Minister Paula, once again. What I got what I got from that is just basically having faith with no action.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what I got from that. And then honestly, you know, just having that faith and then having that action, stepping forward and stepping out on it and actually doing things, you know, and having that faith.
That was strong. That was very strong. For me, I got, if you hold on and not only just hold on, but keep moving. You got to keep going. You got to keep striding. And like you said, the action part, just keep, you got to physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially hold on to Jesus. You got to keep, right, keep going, keep having faith, keep pushing. And if you keep on going and keep pushing, eventually you will get it. You will get it, you know, and his word, he said he'll give it to you. So that was, and I needed that, to just keep moving, keep, because we all get weary sometimes, and everybody needs to hear encouragement to keep moving and keep going forward.
Right.
And the Lord, but if you read your Bible too, because it's something me and Auntie Lisa was talking about earlier, reading your Bible, that will definitely help you keep moving forward and keep holding on. So you're not just holding on by a little hair. You got this whole garment, cloth in your hand. You ain't just holding on by a little strand. You holding on strong. So thank you so much, Minister Paula.
Yes, thanks, Minister Paula. She is so consistent. You are so consistent with delivering this awesome word every week. You have truly been a blessing. And so what I got exactly what Jamal said, faith without works. But also what I've learned in my walk, my Christian walk, is faith is like a muscle. And the more you use it, the more you build it up, the stronger it gets, the easier it is to rely on that muscle because it's strong, right? But if you're not used to using that muscle, you lose it. It becomes weak. So you end up laying by the entrance asking somebody, pick me up, help me, right? Because you haven't exercised that muscle, you haven't built it up. But the more you use it, right, the bigger it gets, the stronger it is, the more reliable you are on it, you know. So if I could just think about it from that perspective, you know, okay, try, step out on faith, you're building your muscle, just keep going. So, yeah, I like that, Minister Paula.
Yeah, thank you. My assistant pastor at my church back home in Michigan, she was trying to get the youth to come to services other than Sunday morning service, because Sunday morning service is the only service I used to go to, too. And so she was explaining to us how she used the analogy, what would happen to a fish out of water for a whole week? And she said it will die. So she's like, you can't just think that you could come to Sunday morning service, and that's just enough. That's the only time you hear the word, only time you crack open your Bible, the only time you talk to the Lord. Then you will be holding on by a little strand forever, you know? So if you think about it in that analogy, and you go to a Bible study if your church has it, or go to prayer service, or whatever other services your church has to get prayer, to talk to him, or not even just your church services, you doing it at the same time, you won't have to always just be holding on by a little strand. You will be able to be strong and walk in him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and like you said, your faith muscle will be strong, and it will keep moving.
Yeah, and being bold as a lion. I mean, that's yeah, but you got to have faith in order to be bold.
Right.
You can't be fearful. So, yeah, thanks, Minister Paul.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was awesome. Thanks so much. God bless you. And so now we're going to move into our question of the week. Late, Jamal. Our question of the week is very deep, and I really want our listeners out there to call in and talk about it, and
We're going to be engaged on in this subject. And so because our subject is racism in America, the question of the week this week is, does racism still exist, or is it just us using it as a hashtag crutch? So does it exist? Does it really still exist, or is it us? Is it us just kind of like making it exist?
Yeah, I do. And, hey, listen, it's better late than never, okay, homeboy? Now, I do believe racism still exists. I mean, look at the stuff that's still brought up to today that we're still facing with the Mike Brown case, with the Trayvon Martin, Sean Bell, and just everything that's just going on in today that we see right now. I mean, honestly, I even had past personal experiences with racism. And so I'm very fortunate that I'm able to tell my story where Trayvon Martin, Sean Bell, and all the others who then died, there's not. You know, I had a run-in with the police, and, you know, I ended up with a busted lip, a black eye, and I actually had one officer tell me that, hey, you lucky I didn't find a gun on you because I was looking for a reason to shoot you.
That happened when I was
14 years old. He told me that I was 14 years old. I was scared for my life. I didn't forgive that cop until I was 20 years old. I literally thought about going to his house and doing something to him my whole entire life, even when I moved out of the city. And it took me all the way until I was 20 years old to finally to be able to release that and let that go and actually start to trust cops again.
So my question to you is, ever after that, were you always like fearful of cops or hated them when that happened at this young age?
It was a hate fear. So it was always like, instead of visualizing them to come protect me, I visualized them coming to hurt me. So I didn't talk to them. So if something happened, I wouldn't say nothing. You see what I'm saying? Or if I seen something happen, I wouldn't say nothing at all because I feel like at the end of the day, they're not going to do any justice for me.
Wow.
If anything, my mind just kept playing back as if they're going to just harm me. So I relived that moment over and over, and I could say, you know, it's like I said, it took me all the way to 20 years old to get over that.
So now I have a question. As far as cops as a whole, did you have a fear, or you didn't trust all cops, or was it really just Caucasian cops?
Both.
The cop was Caucasian. And matter of fact, see, the thing is, now I'm going to tell you something. The cop who said he wish he found a gun on me was one. He was a Caucasian. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Like, I never seen so many white cops in one area. And I looked around like, man, there's no black cops nowhere. I said, oh, he is going to do this. But we were riding back on a back road. He put me in the car with another cop. He put me in the front seat. And we're riding back on the back road to North Tulsa Precinct. It was where we was heading to. And I asked him, I said, why did the officer say he was going to shoot me? All of a sudden, I felt this fist come by, hit my face and my head, hit the glass. He said, if you say anything or try anything now, I'll be the one to shoot you. That's why I got my black eye and my busted lip.
What state was this? Do you care to share it?
No, I just had,
ooh,
girl. Yeah, so I had to tell all the cops in this state trying to get in trouble.
Okay. All right.
bleep.
It was a bleep, bleep state.
Okay.
Bleep, bleep.
Okay.
So,
never mind. I'll be looking up. Like, so
girl,
who,
like,
what was the co-host's name?
Right. What is the cop's security number? Like,
I can't admit now that I was doing something that was inappropriate, and I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't. I was doing something very wrong. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the 6 o'clock news for it.
Oh,
prime time.
Boy,
was
a celebrity
news
before HTR.
Right. Hey, he's already been on a reality show. Cops. He's like, oh, I'm not new to this. Okay.
Hey.
You just lip busted on cops.
I made the 6 o'clock news twice that year. One for a positive thing. The second thing was a positive thing. And the judge is just like, hey, come on. Like, really? Seriously? You hear out of all people? And it was just like, it was bad. It was bad. But it took me, like I said, to 20 to get over that.
Okay. So for me, and let me put this out to everybody in the audience. Me, Lisa, and Jamal, we're all what the African American culture would call light skin. So we're all the same, and the same. We're almost really.
I ain't with you.
I want to say, if you guys have a difference of opinion or anything, you are more than welcome to call in. These are our opinions and from our stories and our point of view. So you guys are more than welcome to call in and from your point of view and your stories to talk also. But for me, what I want to say about this is that I think that a little bit of it is that we're used as a crutch. I think we drum it up a little bit. I'm not – in some cases, there are – I feel like there is hatred and still racism to a certain extent, but I feel like that's like a maybe 15% out of 100 for me, in my opinion. I think that because what happens is, and I'm not poking at Jamal, but when you do something wrong is going to happen to you. And I think people forget that. So when you're doing something wrong, or you're not obeying the law, and you're talking back to an officer or whatever the case may be, and then officer slapped the dog piss out of you, and then you looking like, oh my gosh, you hit me because I'm black. It's like, no, he hit you because you were wrong, or whatever the reason is. And if you didn't want that reaction, you shouldn't have done what you did in the first place. You know, I had a conversation with a friend of mine before. You cannot be mad at somebody's reaction in the heat of the moment because that's their reaction. So, and for one cop, and black, white, or indifferent, but for one cop,
right?
If you're doing something wrong, and he may be able to talk to you because he has a cool head and that's his personality. Another cop may come up here and try to slam you to the ground and handcuff you. Well, if you weren't doing nothing wrong in the first place or anything for them to interrogate you, then you wouldn't have that issue anyway. And I think when we do something like that, and especially our culture as African Americans, when we do something wrong, the first thing, we don't even think about what the person did wrong. We immediately, with the cop, white or black. If the cop was white, oh, it's a wrap. The person is free. The person going to do, nope, not going to happen. And it's like, no, we need to start taking ownership for what we're doing. We need to start taking ownership for what we're doing, what we're saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm clearing my throat all in the air, all on fault. Sorry.
I got it. So what happens to the people that it happens to and they aren't doing anything and racism is really happening from the actual
So for racism, this is what I want to say. Okay, so to some people, it's the wrong place, wrong time. Everything happens for a reason. For me, and I am African American, and maybe I have not noticed it because I don't look for it. So here's another thing, because when I was overseas and doing different stuff with a group of friends got in trouble because they were looking for trouble. So if you're looking for something, you're going to find it. That's with anything,
right.
Including racism. I don't look for it. If you're blunt with it, maybe, but I haven't experienced it in my life or maybe I haven't noticed it. So for me, I think that it's always somebody have done something wrong or you're in the wrong place anyways. So maybe you didn't do nothing, but you was hanging around with the wrong people. You shouldn't have been doing that anyways. You knew better. You was at the wrong.
And I think what you're saying is right, that we have to take ownership where we doing something that we had no business doing. That's the first question. So like Jamal, he was doing something he had no business doing. The way that cop reacted by punching him in his face, right, so the police brutality is wrong, regardless to the fact that he was doing wrong. I think the issue is, and it's not my turn yet, but so I'm just piggybacking on what your comment was, Iran. I think the issue in that whole scenario is the tolerance level. So, yes, if you have a little black boy, 14, doing whatever Jamal was doing, and you had a 14-year-old white boy doing whatever Jamal was doing, would the reaction have been the same? So it becomes more of a tolerance level. How much will a cop or someone of a different race tolerate, you know, from you?
Well, and
so
for me, and
doing
and
it. In the, yeah.
For me, in that situation, you have to flip it. I don't consider stuff like that, and I want you to hear me out. I don't. Racism is still there. Racism is still there. But you flip the script, and it was a black cop that saw a black kid do that. He would have talked to him like, hey, I want to take you to jail. I don't want to put my own in jail, blah, blah, give him a little pat on the shoulder, something like that. You know, send him off. This is my opinion.
Not the case.
Now,
if
it was a black cop,
but
it's a white cop. If a black cop would have took a white kid, he would have booked him up like, yeah, I want to show him one of their can mess up too. So it's still on the same foot. So at the end of the day, just don't do nothing wrong.
don't be in the wrong spot, don't do nothing wrong. So it's some cops out here, because I stay in California, do not like Hispanic people. Like, you get what I'm saying? So you're not going to get around that. You're not going to get around that.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, to avoid that whole scenario of somebody's personal opinion, it's like a teacher. She teaches out their personal opinion. A cop will act out their personal opinion. To avoid the consequences, stay out the wrong.
I get exactly what you're saying, and there are some circumstances when there has not been any wrong done.
Correct.
But there
correct.
Has
right.
been
I do understand that.
The speculation that there has been wrong done. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, so I don't know. So is it my turn yet?
Go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, so yes, I do believe that racism still exists. I also think that people use it as a crutch. They will throw the race card at any opportunity where it presents itself. Me personally, probably because of my military time, right? So you end up, you almost see each other as just soldiers, right? You wear a uniform, you're a brother, you're a sister. At the end of the day, if I'm in war, I could care less. You know, we just don't really see color, right? So that has helped me as I, you know, once I got out of the military to just see people for people, you know, all people are people. It's been times I've been in meetings and I'm like, oh my God, Emma, wow. Okay. I'm the only black in the whole, you know, but I would have not noticed had I not paid attention. No one treated me any different, but I wasn't looking for that either. I didn't walk into the room saying, oh, my God, I'm the only black. I got to really represent. They are going to treat me like I wasn't looking for anything, right? That's kind of to your point. But, yes, I do think our people use it as a crutch, but I do really believe that it still exists.
So do you think it's more so us drumming it up? Because, and the reason why I say that is even in our culture, this is the reason why I said we were all light skinned. Even in our culture, there's still a division between light skinned and dark skinned African Americans or black people or whatever you want to call it. You know, some people call us differently. But black people, there's still a little segregation there between light skinned versus a dark skinned person. You know? So it's like, is it really the outsiders or is it us? Is it us keeping it going? You know, if you feed into it, and if not only do you feed into it, but you cause it amongst your own people, like, what is it to, you know, it's one of them type of things. Like, well, how can you expect somebody else not to? Where if you talk about the gay community or whatever other, you know, Jewish community, whatever, they will shut it down in a minute. They will shut something down on TV that's negative for them in a minute. But we feed into the nonsense.
Yeah, we're just.
Well, you
got to
understand, but you
got
to understand the third point with that is the media only rooms to report what's going on in the black community. If you look at it, we don't get that much publicity. We live in low income housing, and not only that, that's where they dwell. And they're not gonna go to over there into the suburbs of Susie Carmichael with this guy called Smith Tote. It's not gonna happen. They're not gonna report it. They're not gonna let them out there. Now they completely come out there in the hood and do that. You see what I'm saying? That's where they dwell, and that's where they constantly bring it up.
But
they put it on the forefront. They put to the American people. But you got to understand, that's how they portray us. Even if, you know, I do get it that we do use it as a crutch sometimes, and we do like to play devil's advocate, like, oh, they were doing wrong because we were black. But at the end of the day, if you look at the news and you look at it, you don't see nothing but really black, Latinos, and maybe the way they will consider it, you know, and I'm not saying this to, you know, mean to offend anybody, but white trash. That's like rich and poor. That's like rich and poor, and that's where they dwell at.
I've stayed in the predominantly black community, a low-income black community, and I've also stayed in a nice suburban, what you would consider, I guess, a white community also. I've stayed in both communities. And what I want to say about that, about the depiction, is that we depicted ourselves. So what happens is, and because there's no difference in the stuff that goes on, the stuff that goes on in the white community and the black community. The difference is the cover up. And the white community, and I don't mean just all white, but I hope you guys hear what I'm saying. What happens is, if little Susie around there snorting coke, little Susie is smart enough to do it in her house and don't tell nobody. or her, if her parents find out, her parents will cover it up to the T to make sure it don't happen. To where in the black community, we don't, no shame, freak, flag, fly, do it. Go ahead and make a video with it and smoke a joint. And that's the difference. We accept it. We feed into the foolishness. We don't look at it as shameful. So the media could come and exploit that. But if we really looked at that as shameful and we didn't do some of that stuff and we would step up and shut it down like these other cultures and races do, it wouldn't be a problem. It would be shut down. But we don't want it to be shut down. That's the thing. So that's why I would say that we keep it going. That's what I think. But we have to go to a look, we have to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to have our very special guest, who's going to be Boogie Williams, coming, our comedian. He's going to kind of give us some laughter on this heavy subject. He was back. He was here on season one. He's going to be coming back for his comedy segment, so I can't wait for that. So make sure you visit our website at hooperthingradio.com and call us at 347-324-5098 if you want to talk and give your opinion. Press 1 to let the producers know and like us on Facebook and Instagram.
Hooper Thing Radio. Without further ado, we are going to introduce Alton Boogie Williams, or as his Post family knows him, Juru. He was born to entertain. Since his youth, he was constantly reminded of how naturally funny he was. With this God-given gift, Juru is on a lifelong mission to spread laughter and entertainment to anyone willing to laugh. So get ready to hold your sides, because he is going to crack your ribs wide open. Boogie!
What up, yo? That's a hard act to follow right there. I'm guaranteed to crack your ribs open. What if somebody I didn't find him funny at all. Bring me up a little subtler next time. Like, this is first time out, y'all, so give him a break.
No, I already know my side is about to be cracked, so okay.
Boogie, how you feeling today?
I'm good, man. What's going on? Hooper Thing Radio.
I know. I want to ask you the question of the week first before we get into your segment. What did you think about that? Does racism still exist, or is it just a crutch?
Come on, man. Of course it exists. I'm just saying it exists, but to what extent? Let's just say this, for example. We live in a world that didn't see the big idea of Barack Obama becoming president.
Right.
You know what I mean? If it had been 43 black guys, and then on that 44th, it was one Mexican, I could see them turning up. You know what I'm saying? Like, absolutely. Like, you know what I mean? Arriba, arriba. Y'all got y'all chance. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't be like, what's the big idea? I don't see what everybody's excited about. Like, what you mean you're really excited about? Like, not to mention the fact that he's qualified. We're not just going to act like we voted for because he's black. I did. But you know, even if he was, you know, the man is qualified. And so, you know, we're dealing with a nation that just looks at us as, you know, we the company that stayed too long. All the cotton is picked. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, when are you going back home? You know, that cousin is spending the night one day too long. Like, when your mama coming to get you? You know what I mean? But we here. We here now, baby. We here. We here.
You are crazy. So what do you think about, because you're a light-skinned, what do you think about the light-skinned versus the dark-skinned issue?
I don't even consider myself light skin. I just consider myself struggling. So, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it don't matter if you light or dark, man. That don't matter. That matter to black people because, I mean, here's the thing. Here's why. because, okay, let's talk about during slavery, right? We didn't have riches because there's always people that like and dislike people for different reasons, okay? Say, let's not even go to slavery. Let's just say if you own one cow, right, and there's a guy next to you that has 50 cows. Every day you like, look at this fool with all these cows. He know he don't need all them cows. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like he could throw me at least one cow. Like, give me so I can have two. You can have 49. Like, no, he. But you know, it's like get your own cows. You feel me? So it was that whole house. It was that whole house, you know, slave and field slave thing. You know, they the lighter, the fair skin were, you know, invited inside to be, you know, to the servants. And I guess I don't know why, because there's some beautiful dark skinned women, just like there's beautiful light skinned women. But I don't know why. But you know, I know why. Jim Crow laws. We'll get into that. But you know, the thing about it is, it was just that division, and we out here picking this cotton. It's hot, and you in there, you know, still getting beat, but you inside though. You know what I mean? You inside, like you got a better view than I do. You know what I'm saying? Like
of the beating.
Yeah, still getting beat, but you know, at least you inside. Like you get to put on some clothes. I got to put back on this potato sack. You know what I'm saying? Like,
come on. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
So my next question to you is from our conversation so far, do you think black people are the real racists?
I don't think so. Not at all. Black people, first of all, I looked at the word racist, and a racist is a person with the prejudice belief that one race is superior to others. You know what I'm saying? We don't think we're superior to others. We just want what's you know, equal rights. That's all. We've always been, you know, the product of having somebody's foot on our neck. You know, we haven't had a chance to quite, you know, be equal. You know what I mean? And I don't think it'll ever be that way, let alone equal for black women. I really feel for them. You know what I mean? Because they, you know, looking at society and how they treat them, it's really just like, oh, women second, like get to the back of the line. So a black woman, like, ah, y'all, and, you know, and y'all got to have babies? Like, hats off to y'all. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the struggle is real. I'm glad you know.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, it's very real. You got to acknowledge that. And so it's like, I don't think we feel superior to others. Huh? Me? No,
yeah,
I'm good.
Black women is doing good. Black women so delicious. Black women.
I'm a product of a black woman, a strong black woman. So I got to give them big ups. I know what that's like. Even though they gave us the shortest month of the year, that's cool. We'll take it.
Right.
Yeah. They every time, like, you know, like
we get leap here, though.
Jamal, that's good. You know, that segue into the next question: Black History Month or White History Month? You see that? Like that go right into that. I love this thing. This is a good thing. And so, here's my answer to that.
You know what?
What?
We have to share. We have to share one of our days with the president. We got to get the President's Day out of February, so we actually lose a day.
But it was cool. It was cool though, because these past few years he's been black too, so we get the whole month. You know what I'm saying? Like that's cool.
Right.
But don't you feel like that's kind of crazy? Like, I mean, because it started out a week and then we got a month, but then okay, we get the month. It's the shortest month. It's cool. But then they threw that old pagan witchcraft leap year. Every 4 years it's the 29th day. Like, you know what I mean? So if you're born on that day and you're 20 years old, technically you're 5 or 4. Or something like that. Like, get out of here. Like, yeah, America, man, they just bored. You know what I mean? Just bored.
So if you, by you being a black male, well, how do you look at your black people as a whole?
I love my black people more than anything. Yes, we do make some decisions that, you know, help benefit us sometimes that don't necessarily benefit the next person, you know, like a come up on a quick little situation. But, you know, but we're natural survivors. So, you know, if we were given all the money and the riches, I'm sure we would be a lot more civilized. We would have a lot more dignity if it was us on the top of the food chain. We would look at people like, I don't see why you act like that. Just like someone with a house, look at somebody that's homeless, like get a house, get a job. And they're like, it's not that easy. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
right.
You know, it's just that little division right there. But yeah, I don't, man. We black is black and black is beautiful. I never not love my people.
And black
don't crack.
Amen.
Yeah.
And black don't crack. So thank you so much, Boogie Williams, for coming on to the show.
Okay.
Even the little kids
still ain't went to bed yet.
Yeah, I know. Still bad little kids.
But thank you so much, Boogie, for coming on to the show. We hope to have you again soon. And we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right. So we got to go to a break. That was hilarious. He's always funny. I love talking to him. Make sure you visit our website at hoopertakeradio.com and call in to the show and talk. And you can tell us what you feel, you know, and about the subject at 347-324-5098. And like us on Facebook and Instagram. But up next is the Married, Single, and Divorce segment. So stay tuned.
When you want to know the news, but got the radio blues. From the question of the day to the rants and the raves, got your favorite thing.
It's a Hooper thing.
Nobody does it like you do.
It's a Hooper thing.
Listen in and we can prove it. It's all.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Hooper Thang Radio. Welcome back to Hooper Thang Radio, y'all. How you feeling? How you feeling? How you feeling? So up next is the Married, Single, Divorce. Well, I guess it's Married and Single. Married from the woman, Married from the man, because divorced lady ain't here today. But so in the Married, Single, Married segment. So let's go ahead and get cracking. Get a cracking.
Is it me?
So,
I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Hey, it's been a while. All right, so I'm married, and so one of the things that I wanted to talk about, basically, and Jamal, chime in, since you're married, and Duran, you can too. So anybody who knows me knows that I am an awesome listener. It's a gift. I listen really well. I'm actively listening. I care about what people are saying. I take it to heart. But I'm finding that the more I listen, the harder it is for me to actually talk, right? So sometimes I feel like a mute. Like, Lisa, what do you think? Oh, you actually want me to speak? So my thing is with marriage, so communication is so important. And that's two ways. That's listening, active listening, but also talking about your feelings, right? And so what I've been dealing with is, you know, how do I talk without being forced to talk? Because once you're forced to talk or communicate, for me anyway, once I'm forced, then it comes out the wrong way. The tone is wrong, right? So it's more argumentative, it's more defensive, it's more, you know, because it's not a comfortable state for me. So I'm almost like with my defenses up. Whereas it's just a small conversation, like, who's picking up the kids today? You know, I'm like, you got some kids? Like, what? You know they get out at 5, right? Like, girl, if you don't calm down. So,
are you just like hate talking altogether? Do you prefer?
It's getting worse. Like, it's getting worse the older I get. So I'm having to really, overcome this, like force myself to communicate, even at work. Like, I can communicate at work, right, you know, to get my point across. But it's not just extra socializing. It's not just extra, you know, pick me because I want to say something. Nope, when I say something, it's because I really have something to say. You know, you're in a meeting and somebody just,
it's like, it's
just, you know,
like, it's so profound.
But
it's so profound when it comes out.
No,
yeah,
well, it
like,
ain't that it, profound. Like, well, hold
yeah,
up, hold up.
You got it, Jamal. See, I told you to chime in for a reason, boo. I knew you got it. You got it. I called on the right person.
Hey, hey. Girl, step in and say something. Be like, my nose hurt. Like, that's all you got, Lisa. No,
so,
it's so
yeah,
funny you brought this up. It's so funny
don't
about this stuff because
I'm just learning.
We were just
they're like, I'm so glad you got this stuff. I wanted to talk to you about this.
No, we talked because I talk to my Auntie Lisa on every day, every single day. We talk on the phone, right? And it's so funny because I was just talking to you about how the older I'm getting, and I crack on you all the time about this. by, like, you not talking or, like, you just being, like, so shelled, just I don't want to. And the older I get, I'm getting like that because I'm the total opposite. I'm so social and I'm so, like, live and want to talk to everybody. But I don't know if that comes with just age or you just get busy about your business. So is that really a bad thing? Because now I'm kind of more so shifted to that way, and you was cracking on me the other day about it because I'd be roasting you all the time. But is that really a bad thing? I don't really think it's a bad thing. I just think
it's a bad thing when it becomes an uncomfortable feeling to communicate. You know, now before it'd be like, you know, I just don't have anything to say, so I'm cool with it. Right? You know, it's no feeling either way. But when you get to the point where it's like, oh, crap, it's coming around to me. I need to say something. Okay.
You're about to hyperventilate and start butts out crying.
Like, oh, I need to use the restroom right quick. Like, no, it's your turn. I need you to talk. Like, no. Oh, I got to go. I just said I got to use the restroom. So I'm just dealing with that. And I just said that. That's just me as a person. But in a marriage, I'm having to, you know, okay, voice my opinion, you know, because I have a very talkative husband. Exactly. So it's like, speak up. Speak up, you know, defend your position, defend it. Don't wait to the point where you have to defend it to speak up.
Right.
You know, so,
When you have to, it's almost like you're, it's like a lashing out. And when you do that, it's like that's the wrong thing you wanted to do. And then now you got to go retreat. And then come back, well, I apologize. I wanted to say such and such. Like, why didn't you say it right then and there?
Right.
It's all could have been worse if you had just said something.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have Uncle Dwayne over there calling, like, listen, Jamal, we're not going to encourage her. Like, you know what?
No, like, he's probably over there texting Jamal now, like, profound? Really, Jamal? Like, okay, bro.
Hey, me and him are going to have a business meeting later, and you're going to come off in it. And I'm like, you know, I had to sweeten that up. I had to go ahead and say that over.
So
that's
me,
my little.
For me, for the single part, is because y'all know I'm single out here in these parts. Since we're speaking of race, I'm trying to tell you the struggle be real. I think I found my type of girl. Just from the past couple of girlfriends I had to the girl that I kind of like now, I think I like dark, not dark skin. Oh, dark skin, but African-American. It can be light skin, too. It doesn't matter. But it's African-American petite women. Younger, my age. I the older I get, the more narrow my.
Like how young you like them? When you say younger,
listen, okay. And like legal standing, let me make sure I'm clear. And legal,
how old
and
are you, Grandpa?
I am 22 years old. So in legal standing,
okay.
And I will go two. I'm willing to go. My rule is two up, two down.
Okay.
Two ages up, two ages down. So I have a 5 year age gap. So anywhere from 20 to 24 or 25. That's my, like, age gap. If you start working outside of that, you better be like Naomi Campbell or you better be Stella. That's all I know. So I'm thinking I'm starting to find the type of girl. And the reason why I say this is because I was at a drive-thru. Now, this is kind of funny, though. I was at a drive-thru, and during the week, a branding expert was Mia Du, who was on the first show, was telling me about my brand. Now, I'm not speaking about this. Make sure you always stay nice. You look nice. You never know what's going to happen. I was looking raggedy and busted one day, like against the grain, and I've been trying not to, and I was looking so raggedy and busted. And I pull up at the drive-thru, and I'm ordering, you know, I'm going to say a salad. Just
a supersize. Right. Let's supersize
the
cheese and the big cake.
I make chicken with a cheese and a flurry and a medium fry. Honey mustard in the bag, too, please. Two of them.
Whatever. I was ordering a salad.
The seatbelt, like, oh, hey, Tanya. I didn't know you were going to be in the drafting window.
With unfinished toothpaste on the side of his mouth.
Right. Yeah. I think I found my type. No, you didn't.
Hey, Lisa, he pulled up. I ain't got no type. Pulled up playing, I ain't got no type. Come on, man.
Exactly.
Hey, didn't he say before he don't want no girls that's busted, but he running around here busting?
I don't even know why I'm bringing that story up. I walked into this stuff. I walked right into this stuff. I don't know why I do this. So, anyways, I will admit, your boy will admit when he was looking busted. Like, this was a rough day. I was off of work. I was tired. It was hot. It was a rough day here in California. So I pull up to the window. I was on the phone talking. I even think it was actually talking to you, Auntie Lisa, actually. I think I was on the phone talking to you. We were just talking about something totally different. And I pulled up to the drive-thru. No, it wasn't you. It was somebody else. I pulled up to the drive-thru, and I'm talking on the phone. I'm telling this young lady, like, yeah, I want this. I want this salad with extra salad. And so I pull up to the drive-thru, and I have a kind of an afro, but I didn't pick it out. So any African-American knows what your afro look unpicked. What made me come out the house looking like that, I do not know, but I was hungry. So I pull up to the drive-thru, and the girl's back was facing me, and I got my car just held out the window because I was on the phone, and then she turned around, and it was like the Black Beauty turned around. I was like, oh, shoot. Well, so then she turned, she grabbed my car. She looked at me like, listen, Mufasa, I'm going to need you to get it together. And so she go back and she said, why she swiped my car, get my food. I'm like scrambling to my back seat, trying to find the hat on my head. So I like finally find the hat. And I'm like, hey, like winking at her. And she straight dissed me. It was like, boy, and Kevin moving. I was like, oh, yes. So,
your big chicken, your large fry, your two honey mustard, and then toothpaste on the side of your mouth.
I was not that busted. Okay, I was, no, not that busted. But that's my thing. I think I found my type of girl. And she's at the
So what about the hair? Like short hair, long hair, or does the hair not matter? Just complexion.
Your hair
and
cannot.
Size.
Now I have an afro. Your hair can be shorter than mine.
Okay. Okay.
That's just my only one little take on that. Everything else I can work.
She can't have a fade.
No. No. You ain't Amber Rose. No. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. Nope. And your natural hair color, anybody pulling with no look, no purples, no blondes, I'm not doing all that.
Okay.
Well, I hope you find one, buddy. We'll be
I might have somebody in mind for you.
Whatever. Girl, go ahead.
Have you thought about Match.com or Christian Singles?
Oh, yeah.
No, I would never. Listen, that is hashtag death. Before I say my opinion, this is my personal opinion, listener, so please do not even get mad. But that's hashtag desperate. I think that is so hashtag desperate. I can't do that. Nope. If you can't meet them the old-fashioned way, you good. Because what comes off the internet ain't nothing but booty calls. So why would you even think about, like, that? I'm good.
I mean,
how would you
know
booty
trying
calls?
To talk about some reputable sites. He's not talking about, like, blackplanet.com, B-Red. You over here
right.
talking about some other little website. No, he just said,
right.
Like,
what website you on where they giving out booty calls?
Right. Well, first of all, we're talking about racism in America today. That is, I do not do booty calls. I would declare this is a Christian show.
Okay.
That is not cool at all.
Okay.
Nope, not this way.
But, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, we're trying to find your type. I said, you Christian singles. But moving on, so my boy.
He tried it today. He tried it.
He done ran to depression on one of those sites. He ain't never been saved. All right. So my point of view of marriage is basically, you know, when you're at that point where your kids is acting up and then you and your significant other is looking at each other like, okay, well, it's your turn. So it's your turn. Well, I'm always the one disciplined. It's basically like just passing that discipline back and forth. And you don't want your kids to be like, yeah, because one day, I went to care class, and I was all excited because I came up to her school. It was the first time. She was at school. I'm so proud of my baby girl. And she goes and tells me, she goes and introduces me. She said, hi, this is my dad. I really love him. And he whoops me. My mouth fell open. I'm like, what? What'd you say? And I'm just sitting there, and you know, I'm light-skinned, so my face turned red. Bam, I'm embarrassed right now. And then so what helped me out is the teacher came right after she said that. She was just like, well, you probably deserve it. Moving on. And I was like, yes, mm-hmm. You kids deserve it.
Oh, baby, have you had one of them teachers like, did it hurt? How hard did he whoop you? Child CPS?
I wish
they
would.
Get your
I wish they would, because I would look at her like, look here, you about to get what she got last night. Now let's keep it moving.
So you're known as the disciplinarian. in the family. I said, you're kind of known as the disciplinarian, like the kids know that daddy will.
I got forced into it. I got forced into it. I didn't want it. You know how you get forced into the, being a disciplinary one? Because I'm like, wait till your daddy get here. Like, why wait till I get here? Why can't you do it?
Like, right.
Well, enough to do it. You they mama. You can do it too. But no. Mm-hmm. So when they see me coming to the door, they like this. Hey, daddy. How was your day? I didn't do nothing. And I was like, oh, man, here it goes. And the next thing, you know, I got a wife right there. Did you know she did this, isn't that? And I'm like, come here,
let me
talk.
But now, how do you reverse that? How do
you
get out
of a
role? Yeah,
I was just about to say that. Because my old stepmother.
How do you get unstuck out of a role that you were in that you don't necessarily want to fulfill in that marriage?
Go talk to Dr. Phil, Auntie Lisa.
Shut up.
Girl, like, how do you not be the parent that get ran over and your kid just look at you like you're crazy and just, you have to stop looking. I'm like, I just can't take this.
Boy, you are so dumb. No, seriously, Jamona. You are a boy. Seriously. I think I know the answer to it, but I'm asking your perspective.
Now, and to answer, to hear your question, because Durant, he had a quiet Kanye West moment, he kind of chimed you out a little bit. So you're asking me basically, how do I handle it when I'm coming in for the, as far as the discipline, when I know if I need to be disciplined or not?
Okay, so if you are the disciplinarian and you say, I really don't like to fulfill that role, but by default, I have become the disciplinarian, right? You prefer for that duty to be shared amongst you, the both of you, or, you know, Chris take it, right? So it's become your role in the relationship. How do you change that? Or can you?
By basis, you can. You can. Because for the simple fact is you have to establish something once with your significant other. Like, listen, hey, I think you're more than capable of handling it. I don't need to have to walk into it every time I come in the house. And then two, you take it with your kids by actually sitting down and explaining it and discussing the problem instead of just going to full out whooping and then asking them later. Because that happened a lot growing up. You just got beaten. I didn't even get asked for that. I just got beaten and then just went on about it.
Here's the thing.
Okay, what did you say? Sometimes you didn't want to get beat, but you get what?
Okay.
No, because my phone went out.
You're
wrong,
I try to take notes.
No, seriously, I'm like, boy, whatever. See, you got real jokes.
I said when I was younger, when we used to get in trouble, there was like no asking. That. Like you just got your butt beat, and you didn't even explain your story. So what I do now is like I come in, I ask the questions, I evaluate what's going on. See if it's even punishment.
Okay.
Here's the thing. My first stepmom, God rest her soul, she, was the disciplinarian one, the screamer, the choke you out. Like, she was the disciplinarian one. And my father was the, like, hey, come in, party dad type situation.
Yeah,
and
fine.
Mm-hmm. As a child, I liked the distinct roles because my mother, because she was a single parent, she played both roles, and I didn't like that. I mean, it's like you don't know which one you're getting from the parent. Like, I don't know if I'm about to come in here and get, you know, the beat down or the fun. Like, I like having distinct roles from my parents. As a child, that was very cohesive. It was more like if I have an issue, I know who to talk to. I don't have to keep it in because I don't know what you're going to say. I like the distinct roles. I enjoy
being
a kid. It was helpful to me from a kid's point of view.
Okay.
Yeah, so but I ain't got no kids, so ain't doing that. But so we're going to move into what's the latest. So
Whatever.
So we're going to move into what's the latest. And let's see what you got, Lisa.
All right, so what's the latest? Since our theme dealt with racism, I figured that I would talk about the 50th anniversary of the Bloody Selma March. So in Selma, Alabama, you all may have seen it because President Obama and his family, along with his mother-in-law, she was out there, Miss Robinson, and Michelle and the two girls, they were out there marching with some of the folks, the original marchers, They were out there, and they just went on the bridge. They talked about it, you know, that it's 50-year reunion where they commemorated all of the living original marchers. You're like, hurry up. Okay, so anyway.
No. I'm listening.
Okay, so they did mention, well, President Obama visited, and he basically said that the work of the U.S. Civil Rights Movement is advanced, but it's not finished. And he went on to talk about some of the cases that you mentioned earlier, Jamal, with Michael Brown and Trayvon Martin and things of that sort. And so he was just basically saying that there still is work to be done as far as on, with the racial disparities in the United States. And so, you know, he did mention, you know, we've come a long way, but there's still more work to be done. And so if you want to see the movie Selma, I would recommend that you see it. It was good. It's enlightening. Talks about our voting rights, how they marched and how they knew they were going to get beat and they still went across that bridge. So the struggle and the power of our ancestors and our people, you know, we come from a strong background, strong people. So if we think about that when we're going through the little stuff that we go through, right, having that faith muscle and relying on tapping back into our heritage, we can do great, great things. It's in our blood. It's just like tapping to it. So, but that's my little explanation.
So when he said, what stuck out to me when he said we still have we come a long way, we still have more to do, or we still have a ways to go, or I can't remember exactly how he said it. What do you think else we could do? Like, I mean, I think the stuff, the form is here, but it's just us doing it, like acting it out. What else could we, like, do, I guess? That kind of confused me a little bit. What do you think we could do?
Yeah. Well, I don't think we can solve it in 4 minutes before our Hooper Sing Radio music comes on. This is off the stage. But so I'm not too sure what we can do, but there's still more work to be done. You get what I'm saying? If we're still marching and talking about, you know, police rights, I mean, our civil rights with regards to police beatings and police killings and stuff like that, it's still work to be done. There's still some type of disparity going on anytime an unarmed, you know, black male, and it keeps happening. That's the issue. It's not like, you know, it stopped at Trayvon Martin with all the uproar and all the publicity. This thing is still happening. Like, someone just got killed in Wisconsin. You know, so it's like it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we do. I don't know if it's an education and awareness campaign to, you know, to perhaps if we're just talking about police officers, like, hey, you know, black guys are not animals. They're not full of rage. They're not going to kill you. You know, like, they're strong as the Caucasian man that you're not shooting. You know, I don't know if they just don't have enough know-how. You know, if they think we're just that full of rage that if they don't get us first, we're going to get them. I don't know.
That's how the news portrays us.
Yeah, like we're
but some people, some
you
of
know,
us think like
think
that.
Things. Yeah.
Some
so
I'm
not sure. Maybe that's a follow on. Maybe we open it up on Facebook, you know,
and
ask our listeners. Yeah, ask the question. See what kind of feedback we get on social media. Because we only got 2 more minutes, guys.
Girls, I'm still tired. Because we always be running late. We always be running late out there the show.
Always.
So let me go ahead. We're about to close out the show. I want to say thank you to our listeners and our fans for listening to the show. We hope we did the subject justice. The jokes and us talking about this came from our real personal experience. And I hope that this gets you guys to see a little bit more about us and our personal views and where we're coming from. So you guys are more than welcome. Come to our Facebook page and tell us more. Go to our website. I want to thank Minister Paula for the word of the week. It was phenomenal. It's always phenomenal. Just keep holding on. And I want to thank Jeru, for, a.k.a. Boogie Williams, for being on the show today.
Boogie.
It was fun. He had me dying laughing. He's always hilarious. We got to get him back on the show. So he was fantastic. Thank you, too, for being on the show. Make sure you guys go to our website, hoopertingradio.com or blogtalkradio.com/hooper to listen to all our past shows. And don't forget to like us on Facebook and Instagram because we want to get more engaged with you and talk to you. But stay tuned because next week, same time, same place. We'll be talking about spirituality nowadays, and we'll be interviewing, drum roll please, our very own Minister Paula. Yes, yeah, so our minister, yeah. We hear the word from every single week for this season. Faithfully, that was phenomenal. We're now going to be able to ask her questions and pick her brain, and you guys will be able to ask her questions and pick her brain also. So I cannot wait for that. I'm so excited. When I asked her, she was like, sure. Like, but
that
she's going to do it.
To
I love
a blessing.
It.
Thanks, Minister Paula. I will be calling
yes.
you next week.
Oh, yeah. Praise be to God.
Yeah. So until next time, keep God in your hearts and your minds. We love you. Talk to you later.
When you want to know the news, but got the radio blues. From the question of the day to the rants and the raves, got your favorite things. Oh.